Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back. It's time to learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. On today's program, two subjects of a serious nature. First, we will tell you about a new book from Amnesty International that aims to make sure trials around the world are fair and that judges, lawyers, and political leaders are held accountable. Then, we take another look at the fight against the Ebola virus in West Africa. If you live in Guinea or Liberia, or know someone who does, you will want to pay close attention. 7 days each week on radio, television, and the internet, we give you our world, good or bad, as it is. Amnesty International has produced a new book designed to guide fair trials around the world. The rights group says the book should have an effect even in some of the world's most repressive countries. June Sims has more.
The thick book explores such issues as the right to liberty and the right to equality before the law. It also investigates subjects like dealing with torture, the rights of children, and military courts. The book is aimed at lawyers and judges. Amnesty International published a similar guide 15 years ago. That book was also used by people to help them press for their rights. Michael Bohannick heads international law and policy at Amnesty International. He says fair trials are mainly a problem in repressive countries. But he says they also exist in developed democracies. He says the problems are most common in countries in crisis.
We continue to see backsliding year in and year out when it comes to things like how you respond to public protest, how you deal with political opponents, how you avoid reaching for easy solutions in an effort to solve what's actually a far more difficult social problem.
Michael Bohannick says the guidebook is based on international and other legal policies. He says it provides a tool to educate judges, lawyers, and political leaders, and to put pressure on them when necessary.
I think there's a growing recognition of what it takes to adhere to due process. And I think there's more sensitivity than ever before and more opportunity for states to be held to account publicly than ever before.
He says no official wants to be identified for using torture or for violating widely recognized rights, even in the most repressive societies.
It may be that in particular cases where we're seeing the most abuses, these kinds of standards we're pointing to are going to be disregarded. But it makes a difference over time in the way that more generally they respect the fair trial rights that everybody should have.
He says no single project can end the many problems in legal systems around the world. But he says it is an important part of the effort to protect what he calls one of the basic building blocks of life in a democratic society. I'm June Sims.
The World Health Organization says one of the biggest tests it has ever faced is fighting the growing number of Ebola cases in West Africa. The WHO reported earlier this week that the Ebola virus has killed more than 100 people in Guinea and at least 10 others in Liberia. WHO officials are most concerned that Ebola has spread from the forests of southern Guinea to the country's capital. Bob Doty has more on the story.
The aid group Doctors Without Borders is helping local healthcare workers treat Ebola patients. Up to 90% of those infected in Guinea have died from the disease. Many people are frightened. This man says most people had not heard of the Ebola virus before the outbreak. He says now they are very afraid. The virus has spread to the capital, Conakry, from forests in the south. The World Health Organization is concerned that Ebola is now being reported in an area where it had not appeared before. Anthony Fauci is one of America's top experts on infectious diseases. He says Ebola's appearance in West Africa should not come as a surprise.
It's a disease that's spread by direct contact with an infected person, but it's also spread by exposure to an infected animal like a bat. And since we know those animals are in those areas of those adjacent countries, it's not that unusual to see outbreaks in areas in southern Africa that are adjacent to each other.
Fruit bats are the main carriers of Ebola, but the virus does not kill the animals. People get the virus from infected bats or other animals. Dr. Fauci says people need to avoid eating bats or other wild animals when there's a possibility of Ebola. The signs of the disease are very much like those suffered by people with influenza. They include a high body temperature, weakness, muscle pain, and pain in the head or throat. But that is where the comparison ends. Individuals infected with Ebola will expel food or fluids from the mouth. Other signs are the expulsion of body wastes and bleeding, either inside or outside the body. Dr. Fauci says influenza is passed through the air. Ebola is not.
Ebola is almost invariably spread by direct contact with bodily fluids, particularly blood and secretions, vomit, things like that, of people who are deathly ill and people are taking care of them. So it's usually family members, physicians and healthcare providers, ministers who minister to the sick and to the dead, and to morticians who take care of the bodies.
The best way to control the virus is to get people with signs of Ebola into restricted areas. Researchers are working to find effective medicines. But for now, the best chances of beating the disease are to drink plenty of fluids and get treated for secondary infections. A number of patients in Guinea have recovered and been sent home from treatment centers. But that does not mean they are completely free of Ebola. The World Health Organization warns that men who have recovered can still pass the virus to sex partners for up to 7 weeks after they recover. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Before we move aside for some more Learning English programs, here is your history lesson for the day. Exactly 1 week after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, President Lyndon Johnson signed into law the Civil Rights Act. Johnson called it one of the proudest moments of my presidency. Today begins the Kentucky Derby Festival in Louisville, Kentucky. The fun lasts for nearly a month as 1.5 million people visit the southern city for food, fun, and music leading up to the famous horse race. It is called the Run for the Roses because the winning horse and rider receive roses and money and fame. And in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, it is the 26th annual Ozark Mountain UFO Conference as people from around the world get together to hear the latest information about unidentified flying objects. Many people believe that we are not the only life in the universe, and that space aliens exist and may have even visited Earth. That's all for today. I'll see you next week for another look at our world as it is.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Some experts fear that rights reforms in Burma are slowing ahead of national elections planned for 2015. The Asian Development Bank has said that Burma, also known as Myanmar, can become a middle-income country by 2030. To do so, however, the economy must continue to grow at more than 6% a year. Burma's military rulers began reforming its economic and political systems in 2011. These reforms led most nations to end restrictions against Burma. John Hancock is an Australian lawyer and expert on Burma. He says Burma has made strong progress in the past 6 to 7 years. He adds that foreign investors see opportunity for profits in Burma. However, Mr. Hancock says that Burma must rebuild government operations and complete land reforms. He says the government must increase spending on education, roads, and power systems. More than 25% of Burma's 61 million people live below the national poverty level. Many of the poor live in rural areas. Aung Zaw is the editor of the Irrawaddy newspaper. He says many in Burma fear the reform efforts will not be enough. He says poor supervision of land records leaves people in danger of losing their land. Aung Zaw says there is evidence that the Burmese army has forced villagers out to make room for foreign investment. He says foreign investors have shown interest in new special economic zones. But, he says, these new economic areas come with huge social and environmental costs. He says often villagers are forced from their homes without fair payment. The government of Australia has warned investors that people and companies with close ties to Burma's military influence areas of the economy, including the oil, gas, and wood industries. Sean Turnell is an economist at Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia. He says agriculture reform has slowed in Burma, although a majority of Burmese make a living through agriculture.
What I'm really struck by is, as I say, the lack of progress in agriculture.
Mr. Turnell says that without land rights, farmers have limited opportunity to borrow money at fair rates. Experts say some who fear changes in Burma are trying to slow reforms by creating ethnic and religious conflict ahead of the planned 2015 elections. And that is the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we play music from the just-announced nominees for the 2014 Billboard Music Awards. We also find out about the lives of stay-at-home moms. But first, we hear about a NASA program that connects American students with astronauts in space. Some students in California got a rare chance to speak with astronauts in space through a recent video link. The event was part of an effort by the U.S. space agency, NASA, to excite young people about science.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
And we are ready for the event.
Hundreds of college and high school students gathered at California State University, Los Angeles, for the NASA video link with the International Space Station.
Cal State, Los Angeles, this is Mission Control, Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Dean Emily Allen of Cal State, Los Angeles. How do you hear me?
At the other end of the link were three astronauts floating almost 400 kilometers above the Earth. The students learned about the professional paths that led Americans Rick Mastracchio and Mike Hopkins and Japan's Koichi Wakata into space. Engineering student Maria Munguia asked astronaut Mastracchio the first question.
How did you overcome your greatest obstacle on the road to becoming an astronaut?
I went and got a master's degree, got a job as an engineer, and eventually applied as an astronaut. So I think my interest in space and science and my abilities in mathematics had a direct relationship on how I ended up here.
Students asked a wide mix of questions. The three astronauts talked about their long work days, phone calls home, and exercise in the evening. It is all done in a weightless environment. Rick Mastracchio says that often makes impossible things easy and easy things difficult. Astronaut Mike Hopkins turned head over heels to demonstrate. Engineering student Jeremy Blair says he learned about the astronauts by observing how they behaved with each other.
To me, it looked like they were all friends. You know, every time they started laughing, they looked back at each other and they laughed with each other about the jokes. So, I mean, I never really thought about how harmonious the crew was up there.
Student Virginia Mejia learned something else. To keep trying.
You know, never stop dreaming, never. Because like even they said, I applied 4 times, 9 times, you know, in a period of like 9 years, 12 years. It's like, wow, you know, they never gave up.
NASA educator Becky Camus says one question comes up with every video link at schools around the country.
They always ask questions about what does it take to become you? And I think the answer is, you know, it takes passion and dedication, and every single one of these students is capable of that.
11 graduates of the California State University system have gone on to become NASA astronauts. A 12th might be among the students of the current graduating class. Making decisions about the best way to raise children is not easy. For many American families, finding a balance between work and childcare can be difficult. If parents have enough finances, one might choose to raise their children at home while the other works to support the family. The caregivers are called stay-at-home moms or dads. A listener asked a question about stay-at-home moms in America. Faith Lapidus spoke to two women about their decisions on work and parenthood.
Mama, I care.
Sandy Angulo Chen is raising her 3 children in Silver Spring, Maryland. Before she decided to stay home, she had a full-time job in New York City. But she is not a traditional stay-at-home mom. She works from home as an entertainment writer and operates a blog with other mothers in the Washington, D.C. area. Sandy Angulo Chen may not go to an office for work every day, but she says she is busier than ever.
I think that a lot of people don't even recognize that it is incredibly hard to be at home and that there is so much that goes on with keeping your kids' schedules going and having sort of that master schedule for your whole family in a way that even your partner doesn't have.
The Census Bureau estimates there were 5 million stay-at-home moms in the United States last year. The number of stay-at-home fathers has tripled in the past 10 years. The economic recession in 2008 has also affected many parents. Rachel Mehta is a stay-at-home mom in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. She decided to stay at home a few years ago after she lost her job in advertising. But now that her two daughters are getting older and the economy is recovering, she hopes to start looking for work.
I want to show my daughters as well that I'm a contributor and I'm working and I have a career, and that's important to me as well.
Rachel Mehta has major responsibilities at home beyond just caring for her children. Her husband travels often, so she takes care of their household and finances, too. For Sandy Angulo Chen, caring for her children and meeting work deadlines at the same time is difficult. Above all, she says, being a stay-at-home mom can be rewarding, but it is not easy.
So the idea that women who are home are doing nothing is really insulting and offensive, because that has not been my experience. It is not like you're just vacationing and going to the spa.
Billboard magazine has announced its nominees for the 2014 Billboard Music Awards. The group Imagine Dragons and new pop star Lorde lead all other artists in number of nominations. Christopher Cruz has more on the nominees and their music.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse.
Is Imagine Dragons with Radioactive. They are nominated for 12 awards, including Top Artist and Top Duo or Group. And Radioactive is up for the Top Hot 100 Song Award. So is this song, Wrecking Ball, from pop singer Miley Cyrus.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Wrecking Ball also competes with Royals, a song from Lorde. The singer from New Zealand also received 12 nominations. The award for Top New Artist is among them.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. but every song's like gold teeth, Grey Goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule.
I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy.
Beyoncé is the only female artist represented in the nominations for Top Billboard 200 Artist. The Top 200 chart represents album sales. Beyoncé released a self-titled album in December that has sold almost 2 million copies in the United States alone. XO was one of the album's hit songs.
Your heart is glowing. I'm crashing into you. Baby, kiss me before they turn the lights out. Before they turn the lights out. Baby, love me lights out. In the darkest night.
Beyoncé, Lorde, and Miley Cyrus are all up for the Top Female Artist Award, as are Katy Perry and Rihanna. Top Male Artist nominees are country singer Luke Bryan, rapper Eminem, and pop singers Drake and Justin Timberlake. 28-year-old Hawaiian musician Bruno Mars is also on the list.
Same bed, but it feels just a little bit bigger now. Our song on the radio, but it don't sound the same. When our friends talk about you, all it does is just tear me down. 'Cause my heart breaks a little when I hear your name. It all just sounds like ooh, ooh. Too young, too dumb to realize that I should have bought you flowers and held your hand. Should have gave you all my hours when I had the chance. Take you to every party, 'cause all you want dance. Now my baby's dancing, but she's dancing with another man.
The Billboard Music Awards will be held May 18th in Las Vegas, Nevada. We leave you with a performance by one of the nominees for Billboard Magazine's Top R&B Artist, Rihanna.
All along it was a
Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
Tell me now, tell me now.